Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
This will truly be the golden age of America. That's what we have to have.
6 minutes after five on this November 6th, 2024, and former President Donald Trump also projected to be the next president, Donald Trump, in a race that turned with Wisconsin coming in the most recent state to be called by news outlets and the Associated Press for former President Trump. And that put him over the top of the 270 electoral votes needed to win the presidency.
The writing was on the wall when the former president won Pennsylvania, or the call was made for Pennsylvania late on Tuesday night. And then within the last half hour, about 40 minutes ago, Wisconsin was called for the former president, and that put him over the 270 mark threshold.
10 electoral votes in Wisconsin. Trump had been sitting at 265, and then a couple other states still outstanding this morning. Still outstanding: Nevada, Arizona, and Alaska, Michigan, and Maine, but none of those would have provided a path to victory for the vice president. So again, former President Trump, now expected to be the next President Trump. All of the major outlets, Associated Press and everyone else, doing the electoral math and calling the race for Trump.
Trump made a victory speech around 2 a.m.
It's a political victory that our country has never seen before, nothing like this. I want to thank the American people for the extraordinary honor of being elected your 47th president and your 45th president.
We'll hear more extended remarks from former President Trump, now likely to be President-elect Trump, coming up through the morning. He addressed supporters before the race had been called.
Sure.
But obviously at that point, it had looked good for the former president. And so we'll play some extended remarks from him. What about Wisconsin? In the last minute, you just heard it there with Mike Spaulding at the top of the hour news. We were still waiting for results from Milwaukee County. And in fact, at this hour, still waiting for results from the city of Oak Creek.
Oak Creek has about 15,000 ballots that have not been reported in yet. However, given the new numbers that have also come in here within the last 40 minutes or so, it appears that Senator Tammy Baldwin will win re-election because the number is too high. Even if all of those ballots in Oak Creek would go to Eric Hovde, it would not be enough. She will win.
We try to get you the latest numbers on just how tight that race is. We're looking at basically within 1% in that margin.
It was a significant recovery for Baldwin when they called it on Tuesday night when everyone kind of was going home. Eric Hovde was confident, but also the Baldwin camp was very confident that once the numbers would come in from Milwaukee County, that they would make up that discrepancy. And according to these ballots, they did.
Looks like about 26,000 votes separating Senator Baldwin from the challenger, Eric Hovde. 26,000 votes in more than 3 million votes cast.
In a tweet from the senator just moments ago, she says, "The voters have spoken and our campaign has won." She goes on to say, "Wisconsinites chose someone who always puts them first, shows up, listens, and works with everyone to get the job done. I'm proud to head back to the Senate to keep fighting for our workers, farmers, and families that make our state great."
Let's take a look at some of Wisconsin's congressional districts, or all of them for that matter. Essentially no change. The one still outstanding would be Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district. You have the Republican there, Derek Van Orden, freshman Republican, won that seat. Ron Kind held it for many years. This is the La Crosse area. He did not run for re-election 2 years ago, and the Republicans took that seat from the Democrats. Derek Van Orden, the congressman now in that area, is up. Looks like a 51-49 race, but it has not yet been called. No other surprises across the state. The only other race that was really in question was what would happen up in Brown County. You had the, that would be district what? Looking at, that District 8, Brown County, right, where the Trump candidate, President Trump, came in spring and backed the candidate who ultimately won that primary and won the election. It looks like that goes to the Republicans. So in the first congressional, Brian Stile winning over Peter Barca, so Stile winning re-election. Mark Pocan, no surprise here, Madison area getting 70% of the vote in District 2. That District 3 race still too close to call. Congresswoman Gwen Moore from Milwaukee got nearly 70% of the vote. I believe that was never a contest. Scott Fitzgerald, kind of the flip side of that, mm-hmm, yep, in the Waukesha area. He gets reelection. Glenn Grothman reelected in Wisconsin's 6th congressional district. Tom Tiffany up north getting 63% of the vote. So basically, Wisconsin's congressional delegation at this point is 5-2 in favor of Republicans. That one seat in the 3rd congressional still too close to call, but leaning toward the Republicans and Derek Van Orden.
It'll be interesting to see what happens here locally as far as the state races go. Democrats will pick up a couple of seats, although there will not be any major change as far as majority at this point. But the Democrats, with the new district lines that we have in place, have been able to grab a couple of seats. In fact, the biggest one is Jody Habish-Sinikin defeating Dewey Strobel in State Senate District 8.
And it won't be enough to flip control of the Senate and the Assembly. Republicans have retained control of the Assembly. A number of races remain outstanding this morning, but Republicans in races that have been called are at 52 Republican seats in a 99-member state assembly. So regardless of how much closer it gets, Republicans have already secured that chamber here in the Wisconsin State Legislature. But it appears at this point it might be closer than it has been in what, better part of a decade, more than that.
And you can bet here in the next 2 years, the Democrats will really go hard after those state Senate seats if there's a chance to flip that House.
In the U.S. Senate, Republicans have flipped that. They are at 51 seats right now, a number of races still outstanding that could break either way. But this much we know in races that have been called, the Republicans were able to flip enough seats. Democrats flipped a couple as well. But the math right now is working out in favor of the Republicans. They've picked up, they now hold 51 seats in the U.S. Senate.
It also looks very likely that we're going to have a Republican Senate next year.
That's Texas Senator Ted Cruz declaring victory.
A race that a lot of folks watched. Was he vulnerable in some way? And he cruises to victory there. Hard-fought battle, but still retains that seat. And again, the U.S. Senate at 51 for the Republicans right now, a number of seats still outstanding.
But the big story this morning is the former president will become president again. Donald Trump winning Wisconsin, that put him over the 270 mark. So former President Donald Trump will become President Trump again in January.
And right now, leading the popular vote.
Yes.
In the last any number of elections, the Republicans have not been able to win the popular vote. When Trump won in 16, he didn't win the popular vote. But he is now leading that across the country in races that have been called by some 4 million, looks like the margin, 4 million total votes. And again, Nevada, Arizona, both still leaning red. Michigan still leaning in that favor as well. So that margin could grow for the former president.
Former RNC chair here in Wisconsin and nationally, and former Trump White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus on ABC talking about what he told Trump.
I was talking to him and I told him, look, I know it would have been better just to win, but if you could write the chapter in your book, there would be nothing more Trumpy than for you to lose, run again and win. You couldn't possibly think of a better ending to this story.
So interesting watching Wisconsin's own Reince Priebus on that ABC broadcast. They were going to him frequently to try to break down what was happening in Wisconsin.
He could tell. He could see it.
He was pointing out at one point when I was watching the coverage, he goes, look at Kenosha. That went for Biden last time. Like that area, he goes, I grew up there. The margin right now that was showing for Trump, he was able to read those tea leaves and predict that that was a good sign for the former president here in Wisconsin. And ultimately, it looks like, in fact, he did turn the state back in his favor once again. Do you want to do the extended remarks then?
From the president,
yes.
The former president? Yes. So this is around 2 this morning, former President Donald Trump declaring victory.
Thank you very much. Wow. This is great. These are our friends. We have thousands of friends in this incredible movement. This was a movement like nobody's ever seen before. And frankly, this was, I believe, the greatest political movement of all time. There's never been anything like this in this country, and maybe beyond. And now it's going to reach a new level of importance because we're going to help our country heal. We're going to help our country heal. We have a country that needs help, and it needs help very badly. We're going to fix our borders. We're going to fix everything about our country. And we made history for a reason tonight, and the reason is going to be just that. We overcame obstacles that nobody thought possible, and it is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy? But it's a political victory that our country has never seen before, nothing like this. I want to thank the American people for the extraordinary honor of being elected your 47th president and your 45th president. And to every citizen, I will fight for you, for your family, and your future. Every single day, I will be fighting for you, and with every breath in my body, I will not rest until we have delivered the strong, safe, and prosperous America that our children deserve and that you deserve. This will truly be the golden age of America. That's what we have to have. This is a magnificent victory for the American people that will allow us to make America great again.
The former president of the United States, now expected to be the next president of the United States, Donald Trump, addressing supporters in West Palm Beach, what, about 2 o'clock this morning?
Mm-hmm. And we expect to hear from the vice president at some point today in a concession speech. No determination yet on what time that will come.
5:18 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
I think that we just witnessed the greatest political comeback in the history of the United States of America.
Now, Senator J.D. Vance expected to become vice president of the United States in January on that presidential ticket, won and projected to win by all the major media outlets. Associated Press having called the race now for former President Trump, who would become then the 47th president of the United States. At 51 seats, with others still outstanding, we have the Republicans taking control of the U.S. Senate. The House, with every seat up for election in this cycle, still remains a bit uncertain this morning. Bringing in ABC News correspondent Jim Ryan for a look at all of it this morning. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Vince. Yeah, I think that was a big surprise, as much as a surprise as the White House was this big win in the Senate. There had been some thinking, or at least hope among the Democrats, that they would pick up a couple of seats here, but wasn't to be. We don't know yet what the margin is going to be. We'll know that when all the votes are counted. But the most expensive race in this entire Senate cycle was the one here in Texas, Vince, the one that pitted Colin Allred, the Democrat, challenging Ted Cruz, the Republican incumbent in the Senate, who was going for his third term and actually won it. $161 million was spent on that race, most of it by Colin Allred.
And just looking at that as well, they thought he would perform better as Ted Cruz getting, am I right on this, about 53% of the vote?
Yes, and that's better than he did against Beto O'Rourke 6 years ago. He defeated O'Rourke by something like 2.6%. This is a much wider margin. Allred, too, like O'Rourke, had some name recognition, having sat in the Congress for some time. It's kind of back to the drawing board here in Texas, where some Democrats were hoping that finally the state was turning purple. Of course, they've been saying that for 15, 20 years now, Vince.
Talking with ABC News correspondent Jim Ryan, he is live with us from Dallas reporting on that Texas Senate result, but also the results in general. So Republicans will retake the U.S. Senate and a number of seats still outstanding, Jim.
Yes.
We don't know what sort of margin they'll have in terms of governance.
It could be a 9-seat margin, you know, in the Senate. It could go that deep. And so it's something that the Democrats will have to try again in the next midterm to overcome. But and they've got, you know, I think all across the country, even now, they're headed back to the drawing board to see what they can do here. First of all, try to figure out what happened, because you saw this kind of red wave. If you look at maps showing which way precincts individually went, then most of them turned at least slightly Republican. You know, a few turned kind of Democratic, but most of them were turning red, you know, led by Donald Trump and other Republicans up and down the ballot. So it's going to be a tough one for the Democrats to try to figure out. You know, they're looking at right now on their heels, not only in the White House, but also now in the U.S. Senate.
The entire House is always up for vote every 2 years. I don't know if you're watching that race at all, Jim, and how that math is working out. Republicans, of course, had a slim majority in the House this last session.
Right. And there was some thinking that perhaps the Democrats would take the House, the Republicans would take the Senate. And now the White House has gone to the Republicans as well. It would be an interesting thing to see how much could get done if you have a split legislative body like that. We won't know that for some time. But, you know, people were expecting, Vince, that there'd be a cliffhanger for the presidency last night, that we'd be waiting and waiting for something for Pennsylvania to report. Didn't happen that way. It was a fairly decisive victory for Donald Trump.
Great point, Jim, because we were talking here. Of course, Wisconsin was the one that ultimately was last or most recently to be called that put former President Trump over the top for the electoral votes that he needed. But we were talking about days where we might not know Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania put this race on its head pretty quickly last night.
It did. I mean, Trump, not only Wisconsin, but Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina. And of course, now he still leads in other three swing states of Michigan, Arizona, and Nevada. Trump didn't do any waiting, though. He stood on stage last night at Mar-a-Lago and claimed victory. It'll be formalized here in the next few hours, the next couple of days or so. But we're still waiting to formally declare the White House won for anybody.
ABC News correspondent Jim Ryan live with us from Dallas. Thanks for the time,
right,
Jim.
Take care.
Here in Wisconsin, it would appear that Senator Tammy Baldwin will win re-election after the latest batch of ballots were counted in Milwaukee County. Still waiting on Oak Creek, but it doesn't look like that number will matter. Those ballots in Oak Creek will switch that election. Meanwhile, on the congressional side, it'll stay with two Democrats and the rest Republican, it appears, again. Obviously, those races aren't official, but it looks that way.
Yeah, the only race that we were talking about earlier that appeared too close to call. So Derek Van Orden, the Republican there in the southwestern part of the state, does not have a check mark by his name, but he leads about 51-49 over his challenger, Rebecca Cook.
11,000 vote differential there.
No check mark. However, JS has an article saying that he did, in fact, win re-election, or at least that's their projection. So it looks that way, that Wisconsin, at least in terms of its congressional delegation, will remain 6-2 in favor of the Republicans. That only other race that we were watching was the one up in Brown County, Green Bay area. Tony Weed, I mentioned earlier, was the Trump-anointed candidate even before the primary when the former president visited Green Bay on that snowy afternoon.
That's right.
He handpicked this guy. He's like, this is your guy, and raised a lot of eyebrows because there were a number of contenders on the Republican side, and he's a political newcomer up there. Said, all right, he's going with this guy. Well, Weed ended up getting it done. He got 57% of the vote in that Northeast Wisconsin 8th congressional district. So, right, Wisconsin's congressional delegation will remain 6-2 in favor of the Republicans. It is 5:27 on Wisconsin's Morning News. We'll get you a bottom of the hour update from ABC in just minutes. On Wisconsin's Morning News, this November 6th, if you went to bed last night, still hanging in the balance was the presidential race, which has turned in favor of former President Trump. He now has 277 projected electoral votes, 270 needed to win. And then the other race for U.S. Senate flipped since you went to bed last night, right here in Wisconsin.
Yep, we had all the votes now tabulated here in Milwaukee County, or at least most of them, and Tammy Baldwin now looks to appear to be on her way to victory and a re-election bid over Eric Hovde. Now, we were around the building at this point last night, Tuesday evening, around within that first hour of our show, 6 p to 8 p, we were on the air. We had heard that there were 30,000 votes that had to be retabulated in Milwaukee because of an issue with one of the machines. And well, finally, in the middle of the night, just about an hour and a half ago, they brought those through. Milwaukee Elections Director Paulina Gutierrez.
There was a lot of walking. This is the time I thought. So I'm just really happy with the results. We want to come earlier, of course, but we're always going to take accuracy and security over speed any day.
Would you have wanted more poll workers there, needing the fact that you had to call in city workers? I know a lot of Milwaukee firefighters showed up. Were you underprepared in the amount of poll workers?
No, I think after we made the decision that we did earlier in the day, we knew we were behind, and so we staffed up. So, and then with the help of my company. Sorry, it's been a long day.
I know that you had some visitors come. Senator Ron Johnson came, and Brian Jimmie. What were those conversations like, and that sort of process of the retabulation?
We're taking it.
We love observers. We love the community to come watch. We have nothing to hide, and it was great that he actually took interest.
How many poll workers did you actually get that came to this today?
I wouldn't know. I just know that they came and drove, so it was amazing.
What more have you learned about what happened with the
nothing
the
yet.
Door?
The door?
The door is on the tabulator.
Oh, just what I've reported before.
We heard that there was some human error involved.
Okay, Katie.
Yeah, just one more question for now. It's 3:30 in the morning. We'll continue to do an assessment and follow up. We're going to get better. We have a culture of continuous improvement at the Milwaukee Election Commission, but at the end of the day, we problem solved. It was completely transparent and what involved bipartisan Democrat and Republican representatives.
Thank you.
All right, that was Milwaukee Elections Director Paulina Gutierrez as they were delivering the flash drives there at 3:30 this morning. After they were tabulated, it would appear that Senator Baldwin will win re-election. Still waiting on the ballots from Oak Creek, although there aren't enough ballots to change the discrepancy between Eric Hovde and Tammy Baldwin.
Does still look like that's going to be inside that 1% margin in which, if he chooses, Eric Hovde as the challenger could have an opportunity to ask for a recount. We have no indication that he is going to do that or has he even processed this most recent result. As again, this happened just inside the last hour and a half so. So we will wait for word from the Hovde campaign at some point this morning. He did address supporters early yesterday in the process saying that, things look good, but we'll wait and see. And so we have yet to hear from the Hovde campaign as this result has become public.
The senator did declare victory, I should say, via X on Twitter, or formerly known as Twitter. She posted a declaration of victory. We've yet also to hear from Vice President Kamala Harris's camp, although it's expected that at some point today, I can't imagine it'll be this morning, but at some point today, we expect to hear from the VP.
That's what we've been hearing from her camp in Washington, that there would be an address to supporters and a conversation about what has transpired overnight, that we would expect that at some point today. A couple of other things that we're watching here in the state of Wisconsin. What do you make of the citizenship vote? This referendum question, this is the one thing, with the exception of those national races, that we all had on our ballots here in Wisconsin. And this action to change the state constitution, to amend the constitution, change some wording about non-citizen voting, passed overwhelmingly 70.5%. to 29.5%, a huge margin on that particular vote.
That was a strange one. Partisan lines weren't really there for this one. It was kind of blurry. Wasn't sure what it would change exactly, if anything.
More on the right were supporting the change.
Sure.
More on the left were against it. But it obviously didn't break that way, as we're close to a 50-50 here in terms of the people who got elected.
Mm-hmm. It was really just changing a word or two. So how much will that change going forward? Who knows? It doesn't appear that that'll change much, right, as far as where we go from here with that.
I think that was the assessment that a lot of folks made. It was the wording and whether or not it was truly consequential. Nonetheless, that did, in fact, pass. Another thing that we have to get our arms around this morning are all of these school referendum questions. The reporting that we did on it earlier this week, that there was more than $4.2 billion worth of taxation referendum questions tied to schools in dozens of districts across the state. Here in Southeast Wisconsin, it was more than at this point, and we haven't done all the math, but we're approaching $500 million for sure in the numbers that we've run so far that passed just anecdotally watching some of the results come in, look like a lot more yes votes than no votes. Mm-hmm. But we'll get into some of those numbers as they break down this morning. Biggest one, I think, here in southeast Wisconsin was the Arrowhead School District. So that's the Heartland area, but it's a huge district because it's a union high school. You got one high school and a lot of other smaller school districts for the elementaries and middle schools feed into that Arrowhead district. They had two questions on the ballot. One of them passed, one of them didn't. The smaller one did pass. This was an operating referendum. So each of the next 4 years, they want to spend nearly $2 million a year more than what they had been taxing residents.
So do you think there was a strategy there? Let's shoot for the moon and then also ask this other thing that's a little bit more palatable.
Very often is when you see these school referendums, when they first are talked about, you go with the Cadillac first in one election cycle and say, we want to build a field house and we want to build a pool and an auditorium and all this stuff. And we're going to tear down this and build that. And it's going to be this huge number. And the voters reject that. And then that next election cycle, you come back. And say, oh, okay. All right. We heard you. Instead of $100 million, it's going to be $38 million, and we're going to do the smaller plan. In this one, to your point, it was in the same election. And so question one was, we're going to need about $1.9 million more a year for the next 4 years. That one getting about 51% of the vote, and that's a yes. The question two was more than $250 million to tear down. They have a two-campus high school, so they basically two big buildings.
Yeah.
They want to tear them both down, start over, and build an entirely new high school for Heartland Arrowhead, and that one went down fairly resoundingly. That was about a 59-41 vote. That's a no vote for that second question in the Arrowhead School District. But a number of other districts passing referendum. Cudahy getting yes votes on both its school referendums, and Franklin getting a yes vote on its bond referendum, $145 million. Let me see. Glendale River Hills, that's a yes vote on the referendum there, $4.5 million in operational expenses. Mequon-Thiensville passed their referendum. They want to exceed revenue limits by $5.5 million for next year and increasing over several more years. That passed 52-48. Mequonago, that's a yes vote on the school referendum. Oak Creek, that's a yes vote on the school referendum. St. Francis, yes vote on the school referendum. You see the theme that I'm working off of here. Wauwatosa was another big one. Tosa, it looks like for a while that was running a split vote, but that's a yes vote on both of those questions there. So they want to spend about $60 million more in operating expenses over the next 4 years, and they had a building referendum in there for about $60 million. Both of those passed in Wauwatosa. So we'll continue to do the math on the rest of the state on that. And all of these election results are available for you in our Decision Wisconsin page at WTMJ.com if you want to scroll through your specific community. It is 5:43 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Jim. Six on Wisconsin's Morning News. Eric Bilstead and Vince Vetrano on early with you this morning. But I guess simply a continuation of Steve Scafidi being on literally all night. And Wisconsin was the nail biter that we thought it would be. The late results coming in and the state only recently having been called for former President Trump, who is now likely to be assumed the president-elect as he is over the 270-vote threshold needed for the Electoral College. And it was Wisconsin that ultimately got called last and put him over the top.
That put him over 270. It happened about an hour ago, a little bit more than an hour ago, that was officially called. So the former president who declared victory and gave a speech to supporters in Florida did that around 2 a.m., give or take a couple of minutes. That's when he spoke. We've yet to hear from the VP, expecting that later today. The other big local story is the race for U.S. Senate, where it appears that Senator Tammy Baldwin will win re-election. Last night, all the votes weren't done yet, of course, and then once Milwaukee came in, they were confident, Baldwin Camp was confident, that that would put her over the edge, and it appears it has done so.
Milwaukee counting its ballots till, what, about 3 a.m., 4 o'clock?
Close was to 3:30,
started to hear that the votes were in and being taken to be tabulated. That vote thought they would be 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, but then that 31,000-vote recount, which we should point out, both Republicans and Democrats, I don't want to say gave their blessing to. It was a mistake. It shouldn't have happened. However, both were involved in the conversations about how to handle that.
Overseas reaction now. We'll start with stock futures.
Of course, it's early days for markets. And just because the day after or the days after an election, there could be a lot of volatility, Most experts say that stocks trade based on economic growth and corporate earnings.
Okay, that's Jill Schlesinger there from CBS. Right now, everything up. Dow's up nearly 3%. The S&P is ahead more than 2%. NASDAQ also up in the futures market right there. How are the world leaders responding to the news of a new president?
I'm Vicky Barker in London. Britain, Germany, and the EU political leaders on this side of the Atlantic have been quick to publicly congratulate Donald Trump in private.
I think that it would be untruthful to say that that Europe was pleased with this result.
British lawmaker Emily Thornberry, the German and French leaders have already conferred on the implications of a second Trump presidency and what that might mean for NATO and the war in Ukraine. Silence from one quarter. The Kremlin says Russian President Vladimir Putin has no plans to congratulate Donald Trump. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
A little bit more on the Ukrainian situation from ABC's Tom Sophie Burridge.
One major concern for Europe is whether Trump will make good on his promise to end support for Ukraine in its war with Russia. Ukraine's President Zelensky called Trump's election victory impressive and mentioned his meeting with Trump in September, underlining the importance of U.S. support and what Zelensky praised as Trump's peace-through-strength approach in global affairs. Tom Sufi-Burridge, ABC News, in Paris.
Well, nice job by President Zelensky to hedge his bet and take that meeting with the former president. Remember that week that he was here for the U.N. General Assembly? That meeting was on, and then it was off, and then it was on again. So whether he likes it or not, he now has to deal with Donald Trump as the next president of the United States. Interesting, too, what happens in the interim. Joe Biden's the president until late January,
yeah.
Right? So you have that, and what does the Biden administration look like over the next several months as we come up on what will eventually be a next Trump presidency? It is 5:49 on Wisconsin's Morning News. A lot of business ahead. We'll break down some more of the state results as well. Wisconsin's congressional delegation, how that all turned out. What about the state assembly? How does the math work there? Let's first get an update from ABC News.
This is a special report from ABC News. Your voice, your vote. I'm Andy Field. In one of the most remarkable political comebacks, former President Trump projected to win the 2024 election, now with 277 electoral votes, and will become the first president since Grover Cleveland to serve two non-consecutive terms.
It is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy?
Vice President Harris not publicly reacting yet, but some world leaders have.
One major concern for Europe is whether Trump will make good on his promise to end support for Ukraine in its war with Russia. Ukraine's President Zelensky called Trump's election victory impressive, underlining the importance of U.S. support and what Zelensky praised as Trump's peace-through-strength approach in global affairs.
ABC's Tom Sufi-Burridge. Kamala Harris lost must-win states of Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin.
I'll finish the thought. ABC News, 5:51 on Wisconsin's Morning News. So what we're doing is those are live updates that are provided by ABC through the morning. They have certain times that you got to hit it in order to get it live. So we'll do that through the day as well. But I know there's no more breaking news to be had. There are a few states that are left outstanding, but it will only add to, it looks like, the margin for the former president. Michigan leaning red at the moment, Nevada leaning red at the moment, Arizona and Alaska as well, all leaning in former President Trump's favor.
All of those swing states, clean sweep for the former president.
Well, especially after, you know, North Carolina was a bit of a bellwether last night. I was hearing from someone I know who is tied to Republican circles out east. He was texting me last night. He was saying that he had information that the Trump campaign was very close to, very, very concerned about how North Carolina was going. And if North Carolina were not to go for Trump, it wasn't a barrier to victory, but it would be an indicator,
a
perhaps, of how other things went. And North Carolina goes for former President Trump 51 to 47, 48%. And once that happened, things started to get a little bit happier inside the Trump campaign. And then you mentioned at that point, then you're looking at the vice president who's like, has to win Pennsylvania, didn't win Pennsylvania, didn't win Georgia. And then you were looking at virtually impossible math after that point for the vice president.
Here locally, one of the big races in the state Senate was District 8. This was the Dewey Strobel seat. And that's one of the big I don't know if it's, you wouldn't necessarily call it an upset by any means, but one of the big shockers of the morning is that Dewey Strobel was defeated by Jody Habish-Sinikin, the Democrat, in that race.
Should not change, I have to do the math on it, but should not change the balance of power in the state Senate. I believe Republicans had a 10-vote majority. There are 33 seats in the state assembly.
You're right.
So there was not an opportunity for Democrats to flip enough seats for them to take power in the U.S. Senate. And at this point, although it may be a tighter margin than Republicans are used to over the last decade or more, Republicans do have enough seats in races that have been called in the assembly to retain control of that body.
You would expect the Democrats will target that state Senate here in 2026. There could be enough seats there that they might be able to make a switch.
From the various pundits that watch state politics, that's where they believe they can make up that ground. Of course, Governor Tony Evers, the Democrat, has two more years in office still and will keep the state house for the time being. But Republicans at least firmly in control to some degree, perhaps less than they were, but still in control of the state legislature. And then we'll do it all again with the entire state assembly in 2 years. Mm-hmm. But let's not get to 26 yet.
Yeah.
Let's get through 24. Other races in terms of Wisconsin's congressional district reported earlier that really no surprises there. 6-2 in favor of Republicans. In Wisconsin's first congressional, that's Brian Stile, seeking yet another term. He was challenged by Peter Barker, who was once a congressman in that district, also a longtime state assemblyman, and then worked for the Evers administration most recently, although was not in that role now as he took on Stile in that district. That is southern part of Wisconsin, goes into parts of Racine and Kenosha, into Walworth and Rock counties as well.
Interesting district, it can be.
I have to look and see how they voted presidentially, but that's a district that has gone for the Democrats before, yet still elected a Republican in Congress. But Stile getting 56% of the vote in that one. Mark Pocan, no surprise here, the congressman from the Madison area, a Democrat carrying 70% of the vote in his district. It looks like the freshman Republican, Derek Van Orden, will win a second term. This was the seat in Wisconsin's third congressional district, southwest part of the state, so La Crosse area. Van Orden, new to Congress, having Ron Kind vacated that seat, longtime Democrat there. The Republicans managed to flip that seat in Wisconsin. Rebecca Cook was the challenger there. There was a lot of optimism that she might be able to upend the Van Orden congressional career. But right now, Van Orden seems to have enough of a lead. Not
like
seeing
11,000 votes.
Yeah, not seeing a check mark like as a called race, but there is reporting assuming that he is the winner in that race. Looks like a 51-49 race at this point. Wisconsin's fourth congressional, no surprise, Congresswoman Gwen Moore going back to Washington. Scott Fitzgerald, similarly for the Republicans, Waukesha area, 65% of the vote there. Glenn Grothman, sort of south, the northern part of our listening area. Mm-hmm, so you're talking West Bend and up into the North Shore, some areas there. Grothman getting 62% of the vote there as a Republican. Tom Tiffany, Republican, 63% of the vote in his race. The only other one to really watch what was going to happen would be Brown County. That area, Wisconsin's 8th congressional district, that does go for the Trump-anointed candidate there, Tony Weed, 57% of the vote.
There'll be really no congressional change as far as our congressional delegation goes.
Our delegation, no. In terms of what happens
on the
national scale, we already know that Republicans will retake the U.S. Senate. They're looking at 51 seats as it stands right now, a number of seats still outstanding. So we'll see what their margin is in that majority for the U.S. Senate. The U.S. House still uncertain. Right now, Republicans have a slim majority in the U.S. House. In terms of how that math is breaking, more Republican seats have been declared than Democrats, but there are enough outstanding that the balance of power in the U.S. House could still flip. It is 5:57 on Wisconsin's Morning News.